Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 174 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Daniel, Lesson 17. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Book of Daniel, as we're seeing how this replays in our lives today and what is actually going on the earth that we're seeing. It looks like to me a good non-believer would have to believe the Bible. Don't believe in Christ, but you'd have to still believe the writings of the book on how it is so revelatory of what's happening today. Who do you think said that? I'd like to get you started here a little bit. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading.
I wish I'd have said
that. You wish you'd have said that one. Okay. Who's Walt Chambers? All right, I'll give you another one, see how you do on this one. You do not need a great faith, but faith in a great God.
That's
wish you'd said that one too, don't you?
I
did. Hudson Taylor. Now, everyone will get this one. I am sure you'll get this one. I've read the last page of the Bible, and it's all going to turn out all right. I thought maybe somebody needed to hear that this morning. And I believe it was me.
That's right.
Billy Graham. I'll take Billy's word for it. I think that's good. I like to do that just to kind of get our minds into spiritual things. And as we begin here in chapter 6, Daniel, we see in chapter 6, as we move into there, if you've got your Bibles, you'll also want to turn there. And the first part of the chapter we will read. So in chapter 6, Daniel is punished for praying, if you can believe that. God protects Daniel from the lions, but his accuser experienced their own judgment. There's a little lesson right there. His enemies was judging him and had him thrown into the lion's den to find out they were judged by that they had judged. They got to be pet food. So, now let's look at it as we go into chapter 6. What understanding can we gain about Daniel and the lion's den? God's people usually live as a minority in their culture. We see Daniel here, he was in Babylon. But if you'll look through history, God's people are usually a minority. And the only reason we carry so much weight is because we have the power of the Spirit with us. But if you take God's people without the power of the Spirit, they are helpless. So we, like Daniel, need to do our best in any situation. So here we find Daniel in Babylon. Now we can look at ourselves and say somewhat that we are in Babylon today. We're in the world, but we're also more of in a Babylonian setting than not. Now, King Darius installs a new government. Now, let's look at it in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Now, keep that in mind. And the princesses might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred. Daniel was what? Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princesses because an excellent spirit was in him. You see that? He was preferred because there was an excellent spirit. So as Christians, do we want to do things excellent? We want to be found, and not with I just get by, but I have an excellent spirit that's in me. It was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, I want you to catch that. The reason Daniel was preferred was because he had an excellent spirit within him. It wasn't because he was that good looking or anything else, we don't know. But because he had an excellent, he was preferred among men, even in Babylon. So you can see there that people of Babylon were looking for someone of excellence. Mm-hmm. And so we find ourselves in the world today. The world is looking at the church to be a people of excellence. We do things well. We do things right. We do things complete. And yet we find in the church we have a get by attitude. Can I get by with this with God? Can I get by with that with God or whatever? I had a guy this week telling me, he said, well, Alan, it's okay for Christians to drink. I said, well, yeah, you can drink a glass of wine or what. Yes, it's okay. But I said, if we've got to have this discussion, you're not getting it. If we got to have the discussion, you just go ahead and drink your wine. You're not getting it, what God's trying to say. There's something called a matter of excellence that causes us to be preferred. Here's what happened, Daniel 6:1-3. Changes in the government by Darius led to a threat on Daniel's life. So he had this gift of excellence, but others were jealous of him. He was preferred. But yet we want to be accepted by everybody, so we have to send ourselves down. Could you hear what I said? We have to send ourselves down so we can be accepted by Babylon. King Darius promoted Daniel to the position of supreme governor because a spirit of excellence was within him, the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of excellence. Let's look at it in verse 4. Then the presidents and princesses sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Here we see, and you can see if this has anything to do with us today, enemies emerge quickly when it comes to politics. Do I have a witness? Amen. Okay. I just had to put that in there. Especially when favored appointments are being made. When favored appointments are being made, you can see that there's always a fit of jealousy. Some will do anything to bring down their rivals. And I could talk there for some time, but you all have already heard it. So we'll move on. They could find no fault in Daniel. Now, we see here with this jealousy, there was a plot formed against Daniel because of his excellence. To have this idea that you're going to live a life of excellence in the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to get this thing. There's going to be a plot. The enemy's going to come against you. And you're going to get to find out if your excellence is real or not. Or if it's just a put-on excellence. It's going to be tested. And God allows it. Now let's look at it in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5 through 9. We pick up. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princesses assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princesses, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save the king, except the king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be charged according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So they created this statue, and they said, for 30 days, everybody's got to pray to this statue. They were setting up Daniel because they knew who Daniel was. So we can see here that. Now let's look at it, and we're going to go to chapter 10 through 16 right quick. We call this the steadfastness of Daniel. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, okay, make a mental image. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did for aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save the king, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judea, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. So they went to the king, tattletaled on Daniel to the king, saying that he was guilty of breaking this law. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that you have signed. And he is breaking it three times a day. Verse 14, Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. In other words, the king loved Daniel. And he has found out here that he has been set up. He has set up Daniel. They have set up the king. The king's made a decree, so he has to follow through with it. Sure enough, Daniel's guilty of not praying to the statue. But the king is sad. He has been set up also. Then verse 15, Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Can you imagine that he was condemned for prayer? Daniel was condemned for praying. What sustained Daniel during his accusation? So here Daniel is being accused, but something made Daniel steadfast when he was accused. I call it his holy habit. Daniel had a holy habit. What was the first thing that he did? We must be ready in advance for how we are going to react when an emergency comes. This is very important. Now, how did Daniel react? Daniel reacted in a holy habit. So when this happened, something could have happened, but didn't. Daniel had three choices in how he could react. Number one, he could panic and run. When we panic, we do the wrong thing. Anybody agree with that? Number two, he could become paralyzed and not make a decision, which is nothing. Can anybody identify with that one? Number three, or he could pray, which is everything. So he could have run. He could have not done anything. But yet he chose to do what? To pray, which is what? Everything. To pray is to bring the power of the kingdom into the situation. So here we start seeing the meaning of prayer. Why do you think that Daniel took to prayer because he retreated? Daniel took to prayer because he knew it was the most powerful thing he could do. So what Daniel did, he didn't change the circumstance. He just brought the kingdom of God into the situation. Are you with me? We learned this with Daniel. We see this power with prayer. We all have reactions that we use when responding to crisis. Like Daniel, we want to practice a holy habit long enough that it becomes a what? A holy reaction. So here we're getting this thought. A holy habit will create holy reactions.
Very good.
And the holy reactions are what we're after. Things in crisis happen so fast, it has to be a reaction. I've got my reaction time down to about 30 seconds. Now, you got to give me 30 seconds. First 30 seconds, I'm probably going to react wrong. But you got to get, but that's got to come down to zero. And you can say, well, out in 30 seconds ain't bad. Yeah, I've been working on it 20 years. What are your reactions like? Some people will rage. Others will go into depression. Some get mean. Some get a critical spirit. And some go back to what are just old disorders. How did Daniel really develop this? Now it says this in verse 10, how he developed it. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open, it said, towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees, how many times? Three times a day, and did what? And prayed, and did what? Now he didn't pray, God, remove the writing. He prayed and gave thanks to God. Now, surely to goodness, he didn't give thanks for the writing, but who knows about Daniel? Because Daniel used the opportunity, and we want to see this. Now, let's look at it in New Testament terminology with the Apostle Paul. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
Now, the question is, Paul says, in everything give prayer, right? Now, keep that in your brain. In everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. And supplication with what? Thanksgiving. There it is, just like Daniel. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, like Brian was talking about this morning, the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, watch this phrase here. Would God say everything if prayer could not affect and even change everything? Do you get it? Would God say, why does God say everything? Because prayer can affect and change everything. That's why we start learning this, we start seeing this. Now, when you are in crisis, I'm going to give you a little scenario. Speak your prayer out loud and let your prayer progress into a prophetic declaration. Prayer can be spoken out loud when you're in crisis. I've had people call me in crisis, and I'll say, you need to pray about it, whatever. And they say they have been praying. I say, well, have you shouted it out loud yet? And made a total declaration out of your prayer. This is what we see happening. Let's look at Daniel 6, 17 here. I'll put this scripture, I'm going to take off here for time's sake. Daniel 6, 17. Then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be what?
Change.
So the circumstances in Daniel's life didn't change, but Daniel prayed because it would change everything. Now here's the deal. Daniel wasn't looking for his situation to change. That's what wasn't what he was praying about. What he was praying about was the outcome. We are always praying that God will change our situation. But what we need to be praying into is the outcome.
That's good.
All right, are you with Daniel here? So we see this, and that there's a stone here. Does that bring a little something to your remembrance? Daniel's crisis had the seal of death. Do you remember another time when others rolled a stone in front of a tomb? I want you to catch on to something. Now watch this in the book of Daniel. You do not have the one situation that God cannot change.
Come on.
That's right.
That's good.
It could look impossible. You can pray God change the situation. Or you can have faith that God's going to change the outcome. Amen?
Amen.
So just because the situation's not changing one iota doesn't mean the outcome's not going to change, because God's got the last word.
Come on.
In any situation. And everything means everything, by the way.
Amen. Come on.
So here we go. The enemy cannot declare when God's people are finished. Can somebody say amen? Did you get that in your email? The enemy cannot declare when God's people... I had to stick it in here, preacher. The enemy cannot declare when God's people's finished.
Come on.
The enemy can't do that. The enemy can't declare that. Only God can declare that. So when the enemy's trying to convince you of what the end's going to be, what is it? You've heard me say this. The most important part of an airplane flight is the landing. You can take off good and fly good and crash land. I don't know what good the flight was. The landing's the most important part. So it is with crisis in life. So our faith and trust is in God. For the ending, for the landing. But only the enemy cannot declare when God's people are finished. So it's when you hear that, that's just totally a lie. Now look at it here in Luke. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The enemy said, Jesus is finished. But hey, let me give you something here. He's out of his jurisdiction. He doesn't call the end. Let's move forward quickly. Daniel 6, 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. He didn't sleep. The king was tricked. He had to be true to his word, but he went home and fasted for Daniel. Now here we go. The king was in crisis now. I believe he was interceding for his friend. He was asking the God of Daniel to deliver him once again. See, the king believed in the God of Daniel. He just didn't live for the God of Daniel yet. So here we go. Daniel 6, 19 through 20. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to deliver you from the lions? How many feel that you've continually been delivered from the lions? And he goes on here to say this in verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done nothing wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he did what? Believed in his God. Did God change Daniel's situation? No. Did he change the outcome? Yes. Now let's watch this one. And the king gave a command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Then their children and their wives and their lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Sounds a little radical, doesn't it? But they received the judgment they were looking for over Daniel. So when you falsely accuse someone, you need to repent fast. Or the judgment will come upon you. Now, this is by Josephus. He was a historian back in that day. And let's read what Josephus said about this event. The reward of the malicious princes was the wrath of the king. Josephus tells us that they accused him of feeding the lions to save Daniel. So now this is from Josephus. They then started accusing the king of feeding the lions so they wouldn't be hungry and so therefore not eat Daniel. That's what they were accusing them of. So even though he had witnessed a miracle overcoming their treachery, they accused him of orchestrating it. They could not tolerate his Daniel lording over them. And so their real motive became exceedingly apparent when they had exhausted all reason and began accusing their own king for their failings or their own treachery. They desired to be lifted up, and by impure methods, they found themselves being thrown down. Josephus tells us that to determine if they were right, the lions were not hungry, that is. He had them and all of their families cast into the lion's den, overpowered, and then they broke their bones. See, what happened was they came to the king and said, well, you fed the lions. So now they're not hungry. King said, okay, let's see if they are. And he threw them in there, and guess what? They were hungry. Do you see what happened? Their own mouth got them into trouble. Has anybody got a witness? Amen. Huh? Come on. Let me tell you something, people of God and prophets of God. You talk too much. You talk too blame much. You're saying too much, and most of it's not God. People of God and prophets of God, you need to start keeping your mouth shut more. I'm not worried about you hearing from God. I'm worried about you hearing from yourself and running your mouth. Now, we are living in the lion's den. Look at it here. We're living in the lion's den. We're in this huge lion's den. 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we come into New Testament with Peter. He's referring to just like the lions of Daniel. You have but one weapon with which to fight this lion, or this adversary. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of what? The Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. We have a weapon against this lion, and it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. A lot of prophets say, well, I had this great prophetic experience. Listen, I want to tell you something. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God are in total agreement. If you have an experience and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit experience. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God's one. They speak the same thing. It's not that they're in contradiction. They speak the same thing. So we need to be careful. So here we see this. I want to give you something. I did some different scenarios with the fiery furnace. I'm going to revert back to that just a little bit. God delivered Daniel by scenario B. That was a teaching I did about the fiery furnace. Do you remember Daniel and the fiery furnace? Now, scenario A was, we can be delivered from the fire. In other words, with Daniel, God would have changed the situation. With the fiery furnace, it would have changed it so they would not be thrown into the fire. God could change, but we can be delivered from the fire. Now, scenario B, we can be delivered through the fire. So we know the Hebrew children, they went into the fire, but they weren't burned, they weren't singed. So we can say there, scenario B, we can be delivered through the fire. And then scenario C, we can be delivered by the fire into God's arms. In other words, you can go into the crisis, you can die, but you're delivered from it through death, but you're in the presence of God. You can say, Alan, I don't like that scenario. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't write the scenarios. God did. There's three ways. I'm going to say God delivered Daniel by scenario B. Now, in him being delivered in scenario B, he went into the lion's den, but yet God shut the mouths of the lion. So you can be in your crisis, and that can happen. Now, I want to show you something good about Babylon. Believe it or not, there's something good here. Let's look at it. We have opportunities to experience intense encounters with God. Since we're in a Babylon atmosphere, God, we find ourselves today in a Babylon atmosphere. No, we're wanting to change the atmosphere. I am too. We want to keep it as godly as we can, but we're still in a Babylon atmosphere. Now, why does the supernatural ramp up? What happened to Daniel? Daniel had a supernatural experience. Why? Because he was in a Babylonian captivity. So when we find ourselves, I believe signs and wonders are here for us today, you better believe it, because I know where we are. And if we don't have the edge, we need the edge of the supernaturalness of our God. So this is what happened. If God had given Daniel scenario A, he would have missed the God encounter. Or do you see that? If God had not allowed him to go to the lion's den, he would not experienced the sign and the wonder of God shutting them out. So when we're in the crisis, I know they're hard, but it's where we find the opportunity of a God encounter. Let us not forget that. When you are in a fiery furnace or in the lion's den, you can experience an encounter with God. Now, in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first offense, no one stood with me, Paul said, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me. You see that? And strengthens me so that the message might be preached fully through me. Got it? And that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, he said. Why did he throw that one in there? Let's look at what else Paul says, 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Looks like to me he's getting ready, entertaining the thought of scenario C. Paul knew that scenario C would ultimately take him home, which it did. Now let's look at the good of Babylon, the second example here. We can emerge from a terribly hurtful situation unhurt and unharmed. Daniel 6:22. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done nothing wrong before you. We see that. What if we're not innocent? Daniel was innocent. Well, good for Daniel. I'm needing the one where maybe I'm not innocent. So here we go, Jeremiah. And this is a little bit, just kind of rough. Woe is me, for my heart hurt. My wound is severe. But I say, truly this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. Then, of course, God comes along. For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable. Your wound is severe, for I will restore your health. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wound, says the Lord. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So we can see, I need the second one. I'm happy for Daniel. He was innocent. I don't usually get through it quite so well. So then I like to see, and I'm using Old Testament against Old Testament here to show you the heart of God's the same. It is going to be a matter of trust. Now this is in Daniel 6:23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, no injury, whatever was found on him, because he did what? He believed his God. He had trust in his God. So we're in the crisis. We're in the lion's den, the fiery furnace. We look at all that. You're in scenario B. We're to trust God and watch the hand of God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, and you know, and their children. Daniel influenced those who influence. Daniel influenced those who influenced. Now watch it here. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Now what? You maybe heard this somewhere before in Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Sounds like to me Darius was getting what Nebuchadnezzar had to get. Right? Mm-hmm. Can you see it?
Yeah.
God rules it all. He was giving homage, if you will, to the Almighty God. Now here's the good of Babylon 3. We have the opportunity to see a worldly king become impressed with our God. I've had a lot of people say a lot of things. Don't want to say much about election. I've heard some people say, well, Trump's not a believer. Some says he's a believer and some says he's not. The only thing I can tell you, I bet you he's been impressed by God.
That's good.
You can say what you want to. He's seen the hand of God move. Believer or non-believer, y'all have to figure that out, and he can figure it out. But I can promise you this, he's been impressed by God. He's had more God encounters in the last 4 years he's had in his whole life. God has put you here in the present day Babylon. You have been created for this day, created to influence so Babylon can believe. Can you see this? God's put us here, put us in this situation. He's given us His Holy Spirit, the power of His Holy Spirit, so that the world of Babylon might believe in the true God. Daniel's witnesses signs and wonders in Daniel 27, and we're almost finished. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, a Persian. There you have Daniel, chapter 6. And Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And Lord Jesus, you know if I've said anything that's not of you, I ask and pray that this congregation would disregard it. But if anything's been said of you, I pray that it would go into our hearts and become truth, that we might live and live unto and walk in and have faith in. Lord God, I pray for this congregation that it'll be a congregation of Daniels, that no matter what crisis we find ourselves in, that we'll trust the one true God.
Yes.
Dear God, whether you remove the crisis in scenario A, whether we go through the crisis of scenario B, or if we have scenario C, where the crisis takes us out and we go home to be with you. In each scenario, oh God, we are the victors and we are the winners.
Yes, Lord.
So Lord God, I ask and pray you'll just bring the scenarios on, that some things conclude, that other things might begin. And let the power of the Holy Spirit be in this place. Be with our pastor. Fill his bones with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I pray that he'll embarrass himself and won't even know who he is, because you'll fill his mouth with the kingdom of God. Turn him loose is my prayer, O God.
Yes.
Have him be a peculiar man. And all of the congregation that wanted to see that said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you.